wherever here is. I don't know where it's at, really. I just got off an airplane and was driven here, so it's good to be here. My name is Terrence Calvin, in case you don't know who I am, but I am full-blooded Native American, amen. Navajo, actually. And you say, what is that? Well, you know, we are, our famous, I guess our claim to fame, the Navajo is known for being the code talkers during World War II. And so that's who my people are. We're the second largest tribe in North America. The largest tribe is the Cherokee. But the Cherokee, they claim everybody, blonde hair, blue eyes, and whatnot. So, you know, so they can say that. But, you know, us, we're everybody looks like me, dark skin, dark hair. And my friend, Brother McGahee, Brother Mark, he always says that. He said, do even Navajos have a place for hair color and eye color on your driver license? He says, you all have the same hair color and eye color. So he always makes a joke about that, about us. But I'm from the southwest United States, but I was born and raised out there, but now I live in Alabama. Roll Tide, amen. So he asked me, he said, what happened to Alabama this year? I said, well, we figured we'd give the rest of the country a chance, see what it feels like, you know. Just take a year off and be all right. We'll be back next year. So anyway, nonetheless, so I'm glad to be here with y'all. And you got your Bible, go to Mark chapter 10. Kind of want to use this as a springboard and give you a little bit of testimony of who I am, where what I'm from and whatnot. But I am really glad to be here with y'all. And appreciate the opportunity. And I really do. It really stirred my heart just to be able to come here. And I just met your preacher, heard about your preacher quite a bit. But I just met him here back in October and the meeting. But Brother Mike here, I met him a few years ago, preached down there for him. And he's down in Georgia, so I really appreciate him. Got to know him real well, so I'm glad to be here. Just the church, and like I said, I'm glad. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 10, if you look at here, verse 17, it says, when he was gone forth in the way, there come one running, and then kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. This passage of scripture here kind of always spoke to me. It's been a blessing to me, kind of like something in my life can identify with. Just give you a testimony. Use this Sunday school. I give a testimony of who I am, where I'm from. And my dad's name is Wilson Calvin. He's a missionary to the Navajo people of the southwest United States. I grew up in a Christian home. I don't really know. I guess I do know a lot about Navajo culture and way of life, but I wasn't raised in it. I guess I'm what you would call a church brat. I was raised in and around church all my life. And this is all I know, Sunday's church. Some people have different traditions for Sunday. My tradition was going to church and learning all about the things of God. And it's a good thing, but then also some ways it can be a bad thing, you know, because you say, why is it a bad thing? Well, we learn how much to do and how much to get away with. And sometimes you learn what the standard and what the requirement is. All you got to do is just live up to that. No one will bother you. And that's what I kind of learned that through Christianity. And I'll get to that here a little bit. But my dad was just a drunk Indian out there on the reservation. If you don't know the reservation is the largest in North America. Ours is. Covers three states. Covers Arizona, majority of it. Some of it into New Mexico and some of it into Utah. So I was born on the New Mexico side. And the New Mexico side of Navajos, we always kind of look down our nose a little bit toward the ones on the Arizona side, you know, just like among y'all, your folk, you know. Well, they look down, you're white trash, or you're a redneck, or you're whatever. Well, you know, some of the Navajos, they kind of have the same way. So you're a real res. You know, you point out some others out there, and it's a whole different world, different culture out there. Our reservation is the same size as the state of West Virginia, so it's huge. And I grew up out there. That's all I've known. And my dad was the first one to get saved in 1983. He was a journeyman carpenter working for a power plant. He was building scaffolds and whatnot. And one preacher came by and advised the church. And he took my mom to church. My mom was an old Southern Baptist lady. She wasn't saved. Her mama, my grandmother on my mom's side, she was the prayer warrior of our family. She was the old Southern Baptist lady, went to the church where old lady, just a few handful of people, she's the one leading the singing, and then the old man come preach, and I remember going with my grandma many a time out there years ago. So anyway, that's where we come from, and my dad took my mom to church one Sunday, and he went, and we ended up meeting in a school gymnasium that I went to, and it was just a preacher having to have a service there that day. And that preacher preached, and I told a man, he said, sir, you're going to hell. Sir, you're going to hell. And he kept preaching on hell, Luke 16. And my dad said, I'm the only sir here. So I guess, you know, he's pretty pointed. And that was February 1983, and I am sure glad my dad got saved that day. Because I remember him when he was drunk, things about him. And you talk about, you know, I remember picking up bottle too, you know, and taste and stuff like that because he was in the house. It was dad there. Yeah, I remember my dad getting saved. And you know, these older people that get saved later in life, they always look back at their old life and they're glad they got saved, and they're because they know that old life. I didn't know that kind of salvation. Mine was different. But I always look back at my dad's salvation, and it still thrills my soul. You say, why? Because if he didn't get in, I never got in. You know, he got saved. That song there, you know, where that old preacher, Brother Combs used to sing there, you know, about the old man is dead, you know. And one of the lines in there says, you know, now and then, old friend of mine come by and ask me where I've been. He said, he asked me, man, you know, you still paint town red? He said, no. He said, I don't do that no more, man. And whew. I remember that. I lived through that with my dad. I remember old buddies of his coming by and saying, you know, Wilson, let's go. Let's come on out. And dad said, no, can't do that no more. He said, why? He said, I go to church now. I'm saved now. Let me tell you about being a Christian. Woo. To me, that blesses me. You say, why? Because he got it, I got it. And you know, my dad was one, he got a real churchy. You say, what do you mean by that? He went all the way to church, man. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school. I mean, Wednesday, Tuesday visitation, Saturday bus visitation. I mean, he was there for the ladies meeting. Amen. I mean, all the things going on there. Something might happen, man. We don't want to miss it. I mean, as a young kid, I was going to the church, the adult outings, and we'd sit in the vehicle while they'd sit inside and eat. All this crazy business, this new generation, well, I don't got no babysitter. Well, just take them anyway, man. Somebody watch them, we'll be all right. But anyway, that's the way I grew up around that. My dad was that, and my dad's a good old-fashioned worker, builder. I got saved later that year, 1983, and I grew up around church all my life, and I remember the Sunday school hour. Y'all know Flannel Graff? Flannel Graff. I remember Sunday school teacher teaching about the three boys there. Didn't burn in the fire. And I watched that. I remember putting that little stuff up there. And I used to like, to me, in my mind, there's the way certain people look in the Bible. They look like the Flannel Graff. That just, it's imprinted in my mind. Apostle Paul's about that yay high. You know, he got no hair. He's got this long red robe on him with hide right here. I mean, in my mind, that's what Paul looks like. Why? Because the flannel graph. Three Hebrew boys that had weird hats and things, you know, green stripe. I mean, that's just, it was imprinted in my mind. And I remember talking about that. And then about you said, you know, if you don't get saved, you burn. And I thought, my goodness, I'm going to hell. Then the preacher preached that Sunday morning. I remember him preaching on the second coming of the Lord. Jesus coming again. And at that time, 1983, there was a big movie out right around that time there about being left behind. This was long before Tim LaHaye and all that came out. It's this old cheesy movie. I mean, grainy, fuzzy, bad music there, you know, on there. But it was there. And I remember we seen that. And I was like, oh, man. So I'm either going to hell and be left behind. It don't look good here. And it really scared me because the preacher preached and he said, some of your parents going, you're not. Man, I sat there, I thought, oh, he's right. You say, you got saved into getting scared. I mean, you got scared to getting saved. I said, yeah, but basically. I didn't either want to go to hell, and I didn't want to be left behind. So what do I got to do? said, you need to come up here. And I remember the old man come over here, and one day the old man was there, and he'd show me how to be saved. And I remember I asked the Lord to save me that day. Amen. It was in the summer of 1983, and went to church all my life, man. I said, that's all I've ever known, and I enjoy it. I would not be considered fluent in Navajo, the Navajo language. I would be considered speaking slang or conversational Navajo. And the reason why is because I don't understand all the cultural phrases that go along being raised traditional. So even now, when I go back home out there in the reservation, I speak Navajo. Navajo look at me funny. He kind of like, then he'll just start talking English to me because they look at me like he's not fluent. Because there's certain things, you know, just you have to be raised in it, understand the culture, that you just have a certain way of saying something. That, because even with my dad, we go travel out there in the reservation. I said, Dad, what's, why did he say it that way? He said, well, you have to understand, and he'll give the background on why he said it that way. I said, okay. Because it makes more sense to be just more direct and say it to the short. In Navajo language, there's no such thing as just being direct. It's kind of a long way around something to get there. Tell a story, paint a picture, get you there, get you understand your family. So, you know, that's the way I wasn't raised that. I was raised more, you know, I guess this is all I know right here. And I thank God my dad and mom did that. My dad, he surrendered, preached, started ministering his people, started starting churches. And it was 1993 when I finished, got out of high school. God began to deal with my heart about some things. And I had all these opportunities. You know, young man, when you get out of high school, you want to know, everybody's asking you, what are you going to do now? Where are you going to go? Where are you going? And I'm just like, I don't know. You know, I mean, probably wasn't a good thing. I didn't have great dreams or anything. My thing, I was talking about my thing was I wanted to go, kind of got caught moment there. I wanted to go to the military. I wanted to go to U.S. Army. My grandfather served World War II. My dad served during the Vietnam War area, and I wanted to go Army. That was my thing. I said, man, my dad should sing, you know, I want to be an airborne ranger. And he'd sing, and I'd think, man, hey, I want to do that too. And my thing, not going to go for college money or being that, I want to go shoot, kill something. That was my thing. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that, but they didn't, you know, being caught up in the moment there, the recruiter told me, asked me how I was and everything. He said, well, you need your parents to sign on this. But that's where Dad said, nope, we ain't doing that. He said, he says, I know what that lifestyle is. You're not going to make it. He said, you're going to be worse than you are now. And I said, well, you know, come on now. You know, finally got over that. But going out of high school, went to a youth camp there. Or not youth camp, it was an Indian camp in Oklahoma. You probably know where it's at. Near McAllister. Right below Eufaula in that area there. Man, we went there to a camp, and as we was there, I remember the preacher preaching one Wednesday night. Now, remember now, I'm in church, youth group, everything, and doing everything. My dad had a pastor in church at that time. It was a very large youth group. We had about 19 in our class, and there was a bunch of kids there from all over the reservation. And we went to this camp over there, and I remember Wednesday night, this preacher preaching on the prodigal son. And he made all the boys sit over here and all the gals sit over here. The adults, everyone sat toward the back. And for about the first five rows was just nothing but teenagers. And I sat right where this brother's sitting, the third row. I sat around the edge, and all my church sat with me there. And then the ladies over here. And then, I mean, he's preaching about the prodigal son. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, it ain't me. I've been in church all my life. I ain't the prodigal son. I'm like this young man here, this passage of scripture. All these have I kept for my youth. I've done all them commandments. I'm good to my dad, mom. I'm not a rebel, you know. I didn't go to Christian school. I didn't go home school. You know, I was raised in public school all my life. And by the way, if you went to public school, you make it. I'm proof of that. You know, I'm your mom and dad. And I'm not advocating. I'm just saying. Some people, they always think that they look down and say, well, you didn't go to Christian school. You know, well, oh, it's all we had out there. We didn't have nothing else on reservation. And so when I went there and, you know, my dad talked to me and kept me in there. But anyways, that night, I preached, prodigal son, I keep thinking, oh, man, I'm not that. And he gave the invitation. It's time for you to get right with God. And I mean, he preached hard about everything. And I'm standing there, an invitation. I'm thinking, well, somebody needs this. Prodigal son, man, I know a few of these kids here. See them every year at this meeting, and that ain't me. And the Lord began to deal with my heart in that service. I look at this passage and I remember that. It's what it's like. You, from a young man, you're getting around church. Some of you that got saved late in life, you may not understand this, but I'll help you give you a little understanding about your kids that are being raised here. They're raising it all their life. All this have I kept from my youth up. I've done this my whole life. I've gone to church my whole life. Give my tithe. I go on visitation. I pass out tracts. I wear a shirt on Sunday, which I hate it, shirt and tie. I still do. And I'm just angry because I wish I'd known. I could have dressed like that, man. I could have. Man, I'd have wore my snap button shirt and my cowboy boots, my cowboy. I took my cowboy hat and my boots, and I said, I'm going to wear it or something. I said, well, now nah, I'm going to go travel light this time. I wear my regular shoes, you know, shirt and tie. Look decent. These are northern people up here, so now I behave myself, you know. I'd have wore my Carhartt vest. My wife ain't here, too, because, man, she just hates that thing. I said, yeah, I could have wore it, man. It would have been awesome, man. But anyway, I know about a dressing up, right? Dressing up, I grew up in all church. All this have I kept since my youth. I'm not the prodigal son. I'm not out there living wild. Although, like I said, I do everything. I went to public school, so always like a cow, checking a new fence, just checking the gate, see how far I could do and how much I could get away with, see? Always did. Went to a new church, new camp. They said, this are the rules. Where was I at? Checking the rules. All this have I kept from my youth. All this, I've done this since I was a young man. All this since I know. That preacher kept coming, invitation. No one moved. Man, I can still, in my mind, it's still there. I can smell the sawdust in the ground, the yellow tinted lights. Man, I mean, I can see that preacher up there. Who's going to come? And I'm thinking, man, these guys need to go. I'm looking around like, what's wrong with y'all? Some of you just came just so you could get off the reservation for this youth camp, man, going to Oklahoma. You need to, come on, man. By that time, God began to deal me, like this young man. I met the Lord there that night in a different fashion. He said, won't you come do what I want you to do? At that point in my life, I was out of high school, May 1983. I graduated. This was June, a few weeks out. And I was wondering, am I going to go to work? Am I going to go to college? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And I was wanting all these things to do. And the Lord said, why don't you come do what I want you to do? It was rough, man, because I was like, well, Lord, I'm going to go to do this and I'm going to do that. But, Lord, I don't ever intend to get out of church, Lord. I'm going to keep going. If my daddy needs help, I'll kind of help him. Lord, I'm not trying to get out of church. I'm trying to make a career. I'm trying to get something going here, Lord. The Lord says, why don't you come do what I want you to do? One thing thou lackest. One thing right here. This is your one thing, your one moment. One thing right here. And I was like, Lord, all this, I've done this since I was a kid. I know, Lord, I know. And man, it kept pressing. Man, conviction started falling even more. More than I remember to get saved. This was conviction for to follow him wholeheartedly. And I kept trying to reason with him and saying, I know. But man, it kept growing. And to me, you know how those things are. It's a moment in your mind, a moment in life, but for a while, you feel like the whole world has stopped and it's just you and God. And you're like, man, Lord. When's this invitation? How many stanzas is this thing? Come on. I pray when I get home. I pray at the bunk. I'll tell people Sunday, Lord, whatever. Lord said, and finally it was this. Either you come do what I want you to do from here on out, or you go do whatever you want from here on out. Man, that's when it got real. It's like the Lord telling this man here, he said, man, I appreciate everything you've done, but one thing you lack. Go home, sell everything you got. What's got a hold of your heart? Then come, follow me, pick up your cross. That young man couldn't do it. Bible says he walked away grieved for a great possession. Something had a hold of his heart. Just like some of you, you know what you're supposed to do for a Christian life, but there's that one thing that God is trying to deal with you about. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, and I'm thankful it's only one thing. He don't come with the full list of what's wrong with you. Some of you probably got volumes. Hey, man, let's pull the list out here. And where do we start? No, he said, just start one thing today. Yeah. for me, that one thing. From here on out, you do what I want you to do, or you go do whatever you want. And it was like, yeah, go do whatever you want then. I'm like, no, Lord, you don't understand. I intend to keep going to church, Lord. I don't want to do whatever I want. He said, well, you come do what I want you to do. I had no idea what that was. And man, I'm thinking, go pray. Somebody get out of here. Come on. Invitation thing forever. Hurry. But finally, whew. For me, I always go back to that night, June 16, 1993. I am sure glad I didn't do what this man did. Walk out grieved, grieving God, the Spirit of God, walk away from the Lord forever. You never read of him again. That was his one moment he had. Yep. Who knows who could have been? Who would this young man have become? You'll never know. You know why? That one thing God wanted him to do, he couldn't do it. Everything else he did. That's why some of you grew up around church. Some of you have been around this thing long enough. You know what you're supposed to do. You've been around all of this. But is that one thing God stops you one day and says, hey, all right now, for you to go any further, for you to do any more, you have to deal with this one thing right here. Lord, don't you know I tithe? Don't you know I drive the bus? Don't you know I win souls? Don't you know I give my money to missions? Don't you know, Lord God, I pray for everybody. I got a prayer list. Lord, don't you know I've done all this? Lord says, yeah, but you still got this one thing right here. I got my hand on. Until you deal with it, you can't go any forward. I think that's why we lose you out at a lot of young people. Yeah. They come to that one thing, and for every one of you, it'll be different. Every one of you meet the Lord that fashion in a way where it's one thing you must deal with, this, or else. Go do whatever you want. Why does it seem when they get out of church, they just go wild? Because they're gone to do whatever they want. Y'all had 19 in my youth group. Out of us 19, you know how many are serving God now? Two. Me and one other young man who's a part of a non-denominational church out there. He said, where are the other ones at? June 16, 1993, that night, man, right there. I don't know about you. I always thank God for that. I don't know if it was fear. I don't know if I was trying to please my dad, mom. I don't know if it was because of the preacher. I have no idea. I know the Spirit of God. But for some reason, my own free will, my choice, maybe I'm weak, maybe wimp. I don't know. But I remember they're just standing there, and I thought, okay, I want you in my life. And if this is the only way, Lord, okay. And I got out. Man, as soon as I did, my whole row followed me. As soon as I did, everybody else came. As far as I'm concerned, the Lord showed up that night looking for me. And I thank God he did. I came right here to the side of the pulpit. My dad was sitting over there. He walked over. He said, son, what'd you come forward for? I said, Dad, I just want to do whatever the Lord wants me to do from here on out. He said, all right, let's pray, son. And we did. I said, Lord, here on out, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I was 1993, 17 years old. So, okay, just finished high school. So from here on out, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Have been saved, but now, God, man, I tell you what, that's a blessing. Burden lift, conviction. I said, man, what a time. In my prayers this time, when I go giving thanks to God, that moment always comes to my mind every now and then. I wouldn't be here had I not had that moment with God. Lord knows where I'd be. I had no idea. I'm sure glad I made him my choice. That was my one thing, man. There have been a few other times he's met me there again, remind me of one thing I deal with. And that's the next step in your life. Here's one thing you deal with. Here's one thing. And I'm thankful he does. But for me, that was a process. And God, that Sunday, that Saturday where everybody's going home from camp, one of the men preachers comes up to me. He goes, hey, he goes, I heard you surrender to preach. No, I never said that. I just said, I'm Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he said, I heard you surrender to preach. I said, yeah, I'll do whatever I want. He goes, why don't you preach for me Sunday? I'm like, okay. you sure? He goes, yeah, I preach for me Sunday. So I start there. And then from there and here and there. And Dad said, why don't you help here? Why don't you help there? And so she helped him and be like kind of associate. Took over church. He went to start another one. He left me at one taking care of. And from there just grew. Went on to start 2-3 more churches on my own from there. Thank God, man. The God, I'm going to tell you what, you follow the Lord, man. I mean, you had no idea where to go. It was a blessing, man. And, you know, just my message, I think a lot of those at the beginning, they were always like Genesis 1. You know, they were without form. They were void. Darkness upon the face of the sermon. The Spirit of God had to move upon what little he had, you know, there. Not that it's gotten any better, you know, because the Spirit of God don't move. I'll tell you what, man, it's still a mess. Was able to pastor and family, you know, 2 daughters. And, man, I tell you what, man, thank God I'm serving the Lord. And it's been a journey, man, just starting out, working your way up through things and preaching. And it got to the point there in 2007, 2006, had started a church. The last church, one of the last churches I started and pastored was a church that had folded, and 5 different pastors had gone through there. Lord allowed me to go there, get the thing going. When I left, they had like 65 people, 70 people. But that church, man, they had like a $30,000 budget with all the bills paid, and we were supporting missionaries. 11,000 of our money on top of the 30 went out to Navajo Works to help build buildings, put roofs, paints, and all that. And that may not be much to you, but it's big to me, because when I got there, 0 people in that church, and the church was in debt at 5 places in town. So it was a thing. And I was pastoring there, started a church in a place called Winslow, Arizona. I literally was standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Now, I always say that just to see who knows that. Some of you kids are like, what does that mean? Well, your pastor knows what that means. Somebody asked, there's several of you know what that means. And there's actually a monument there. There's a guy standing there, the red Ford truck and whatnot. But I was a block away from that monument, had church started. So I was pastoring 2 churches, teaching Bible study, my dad's church. I mean, so we were wide open out there in 2007, 2008. God began to do my heart about traveling, preaching. And I was like, Lord, my dad's a good one of that. Everybody knows my dad everywhere. Let him travel. He did. I don't need to go anywhere. I'm happy. I'm a homeboy. I want to stay here and just be on the res, reach people here. I'm enjoying it, preaching. One church, I preach Sunday all day and Thursday nights. Then the other church, I preach Sunday afternoon and Wednesday night, and going between both and teaching Bible study on Mondays and Fridays. And then we have prayer, men's prayer on Saturdays. So we stay busy. It's not like I wanted to go anywhere. And I said, Lord, I don't need to go anywhere. It was October 2007. God began to do my heart mission conference there. Brother Charlie Andrews, our pastor, came, and he began preaching. And, man, God kept doing my heart. I think, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm already busy. You know, Dad's the one that travels. Everybody knows him everywhere. Give you an example of that. You know, I went to one church, and that preacher got up there, and he said, hey, you remember Wilson Calvin? You know, that guy we had, he played his tape here at the church service, and you heard him preach down there at Blowout, and they're like, yeah, yeah. Well, this is his son, you know. It's kind of come full circle down now, no? A couple of plays I've showed up, and a lady came up to him, are you Terrence Calvin's dad? You know, and he's like, shut up. You know, he walked off, you know. I said, yeah, man, that feels pretty good right there, man. Because everywhere I go, the son, the bottomless pit, we feed him everything here. But anyway, God deal my heart about traveling. And it's okay, you open the door, I'll go, Lord. Man walks up, man, a few weeks after that, and he says, hey, can you preach a meeting for me? He said, we're going to start the new year off with a bang. He said, first full week of January, we're going to have a revival meeting. You come. I said, yeah, man, you're not far from the house. I'll go. Man, we had a revival meeting. Man, we had a meeting there. It broke out. Man, we had like 15 people saved one night service. I mean, it was all. I mean, it was great. And, man, one man got up at that meeting, the enemy. He said, God's doing. He said, we need this in our church. Will you come preach at our church? So, yeah, man, let's go. And next thing you know, a door kept opening there. It went from hour from the house to 3 hours away to out of state to multiple states. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are you doing, Lord? Lord's like, I want you to travel. And I'm thinking, I don't know about this. I like being home. I like where we're at. I like pastoring and all that. Lord said, no, I want you to travel, preach. And this is this one, I also see it. It didn't go easy. Been saved at that point probably 20 plus years, but it was still. I don't know if you, Lord, it's my comfort zone. Now you need to go to the next step. One thing you need, right? Oh, man. And I remember it was heavy on me, long while. And I was driving back from a meeting and said, see, this is what I want you to do, what I want you to do. I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. You ever get to that point where you just feel you can't go any further? Driving the road, finally I just pulled off the exit, and the first thing I saw was Cracker Barrel, and I pulled in the Cracker Barrel parking lot. Hallelujah, amen, Cracker Barrel. I pulled in the Cracker Barrel parking lot, and I just got there, and I just let it out there. I said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. Rest of my life. Family kind of looked at me and said, what's the deal here, man? I said, and I just like, oh. Thank God. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I surrender to be evangelist tonight. That's what the Lord wanted me to do. He said, well, good. He said, I was wondering when you going to figure that out. You know how I feel about evangelists, though, son. My dad's thing about evangelists, they blow in, they blow up, they blow out. And he said, Dad wasn't too fond of them, you know. And so anyway, but so I know, he said, but God wants you to do that. You go. God's opened the door to go to 43 of the 50 states and overseas, different place I never thought. And all that, I remember, just a kid who grew up on the res. You say, how'd that go, man? Every time God met me saying, one thing, Alakis. I said, okay, let's deal with that one thing here. Then you go to the next step. I think Christian life, a lot of people, they miss, they just... They do like this guy. They get mad. Lord, don't you know? And then they start throwing all their accolades, their awards, and their justification why they can't do that or why they need to hang on to whatever. And Lord says, you can't go any further until you do this right here. You young people, man, there can come a point in your life when you're going to have to grow up, and God's going to say, right here, this is what you need to do to move on. This, you need to get away from this crowd over here. You leave these friends behind. Tell me about leaving friends behind. Oh, it's hard to leave family behind. Tell me about it. Look at me, man. Pinto bean and a bowl of rice here, man. Oh, brown skin. There's a few of you little dark beans, amen. I mean, like me. But hey, man, look at us, man. Navajos are just, the preacher's telling me about it. He's all my family. We live around here. We live all that, you know, this and that. And I said, yeah. I said, you tribal, aren't you? I said, man, you're as white as men can be, but you tribal. You do your mentality tribal. Keep all the clan around here. You the matriarch. Your wife's the patriarch. I mean, the patriarch. I got that mixed up. You're the patriarch. Your wife's the matriarch, man, and you got this whole clan around. You got all your kids. I said, that's Navajo right there. They get everybody around. Family, eat together, hang together, do every church together, everything. I said, God said, I want you to go. You tell me about leaving family. I can't do that. Tell me about leaving your best friends. Tell me about leaving everything you ever known. Tell me about leaving comfort zone. Tell me about getting away from all that. I know what it's about. But I'm here to tell you, going on for him, best decisions ever made for him. Every time it came to choose him and one thing, I'm sure glad I had chosen him. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always simple, but man, I sure am glad. Amen. Man, it's been the best, ever, I'll tell you. Amen. You will never regret making your choice for him. Amen. Never. You'll have hardship. You have ups and downs, but man, I'll tell you what, those other times, they will always far outweigh it. There'll be some good memories you get to make. Yeah. The things of God, man, I mean, what a blessing, man. Now he says one thing. What's your one thing? So I'm sure he'd come to you saying that. saying, hey, I appreciate all you do for this church, but you got this right here. You're never going to outgrow that. You might as well just make it up in your mind, right? All you adults here, it's not just young people, you adults. God's going to come to you and say, right here, you still got this. No, not me, Lord. I've been saved this long. It don't matter. Amen. God still come and put something right there. Said, amen. You want to go any further? You want to go on? You deal with this. That's why you see people have been saved 15, 20 years. All of a sudden, they leave church. Why did he get out? One thing. It wasn't a bunch of things that got him out. It was one thing. He wasn't get some of you out of church. One thing. Everything else piles on top of that. It's like a man, like a somebody in an accident on the interstate, man. When somebody, one person just rear-ended, the whole thing just. That's why some of your Christian life, there's just one thing you won't deal with. And what happens? There's 4-car, 10-car, 20-car, 30-car. Next thing you know, there's a traffic jam there. Why? Because you wouldn't do one thing. But oh, the peace. Man, to have the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no price tag on that. Man, to serve God. There's no price tag on that. To live for him, there's none. But oh, sometimes that one thing is hard. You stand there and say, Lord, didn't you ask for something else? He says, no, that one. One thing. I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to let you know, it'll be hard, but hey, one of these days, you look back and say, man, I am glad for that. I'm glad I made the choice for him. Amen. I wouldn't be here for you, man, without him. And I want to encourage you. You got something, one thing he's dealing with you, man? What you do with it? It may take you a while just to get over it, get through it, whatever, but whatever it is, get around God, man. Get your heart right. Amen. Get where it needs to be. Like, oh, man, God said, kick yourself or something. I got a problem with this, man. Well, keep fighting it. Keep fighting it. Amen. Don't let it beat you. Amen. Don't let it be your legacy, man. Let your legacy be, hey, I chose him. I chose the Lord. Amen. Amen. Pray.